Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
a shout even shy, and between the two of them, they created a masterpiece. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. I am part of a radio team that hangs out at allpoetry.com, which is a giant poetry site that you can join for free. And if you join, or you're already there, if you click the group tab at the top of your page, you'll find us listed under A Team of Voices, and you can rap on the door, and I will meet you there, and you can hang out with us if you'd like. If you would like to call in to participate, the number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And if you're in the chat room, there's a link you can click on to listen to the show, and that is also where we post the links for you to follow along. And tonight we have a new artist that I found, and some onomatopoeia words set up in a word bank for the poets to choose from. So we shall see what kind of magnificence comes out of tonight, because it's always fabulous. I would like to say, real quick, Sweet Pea, we miss you very much. Hurry back. And I'd like to say that I'm here with my big brother co-host, Jay Hatter, the aforementioned writer of that amazing song. Hey, Hatter, say hello.
Hello, hello. Hi, guys.
Glad you're here, Hatter. And we got some people hanging out in the studio trying to get through the door, starting with the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life. And occasionally on the end of the month at the Man Cave with Stephen and his beautiful wife, Kay. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're both here. And then right behind them is Sky, who always comes with an echo. Hey, Sky. She's also from A Poetic Slice, and a team of voices as well. Busy chick. Glad you're here, Sky. And standing right behind Sky is Mr. David Proppett. Welcome to the show, Dave. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Deborah. Hi, everybody. Hope everybody's fine.
Happy Monday, everyone. And let's see here. I just wanted to peek real quick and say that the artist that we are writing about tonight is Boris Indrikov, and he's got some really cool art. And if you happen to be around, jump into A Team of Voices, and you can see the art that's posted with each poem, starting with the poem by Kay. And I am about to add that on the board. And I see, congratulations, dear heart, you've won a gold award on this poem. That's fantastic. And I know what that good, the bad, the ugly means, so woo-hoo. High scores, gold awards. Can't wait. So take us away, please.
Okay. Let me go here. Okay. I call us pauses in thought, sacrifices good. Madness divine in the grain of light, whimper through the crack, whip through Tissen, histronics, talons outreach and switches, to maim to curled extension, snowbound dovetails and gauntlets gray, alabaster, her clicking, peppercorns of linen, tapestries of beige, memoirs of her bridges, a gasp, wheezing through the groans, growls, on the rocks of a mindful mist, the first star in crushed ice is a vein to weep. End poem.
Wow. Pauses in thought, sacrifices good. Amazing title. Madness divine in the grain of light whimpers through the crack. There's something about that whimper, that whimpers through the crack. Like, you see where your madness, you're in the darkness, you're desperate for a light, and then you get a whimper through the crack. I think that's really, really clever. It helps, the description of the whimper for the light drives the fact that it's a scary place and that you're desperate for that light, just with that word whimper. So that's quite brilliant. And I love that hissing histrionics, I mean, that's brilliant. It's got the alliteration, but it also adds to that scariness right there. Snowbound dovetails and gauntlets, gray alabaster, her clicking peppercorn of linen. I know that broken record syndrome, but I can't help it because you are a spinner of clever metaphors, and nobody puts them together like you do. Tapestries, the beige memoirs of her bridges, and I'm going to stop saying lines and go back to commenting because I could almost hear Sky just then. but no, seriously, the details and the sound like in the wind and in the groans and in the whimpers, really added to the depth of the madness from the beginning. So I really, and then not to, just one more line, the last three words actually, bane to weep, brutal, so much emotion. I think this came out stellar, and so did the contest host, obviously, with that shiny gold on there. Brilliant share. Thank you so much.
Let me
get you some comments. And you know what? I'm going to go right to Sky because I know in my head she said, there she goes, taking all them lines.
I do the same thing, so I really can't yell at you too much. I really do, especially on my shows. I'm like almost all the way down to like the last stanza, and I'm like, oh, I just said them all. But you can't help it when the lines are great. This is wonderful brevity. I really enjoyed the peppercorns of linen, tapestries of the beige. I really love the image of those darker shades blending in with the lighter ones. And I like the creativity and word choice that you use to describe those. You know, not just black and white, but, you know, particular use of tones, but also creative, like the peppercorn, which is really cool. And then, of course, you bring in the hissing histrionic, which I thought was really cool, and a little bit of like the savagery with the growls and breathing through the groans and growls, and then you lead into weeping. So there, I think there's a myriad of emotion in here. In a very short period of time, and very vivid images as well. Really well done.
Thank you.
Fabulous comment. Hatter?
Yeah, I'm sure Stephen heard it too. I'll run it over. Gray alabaster, her clicking, peppercorns of linen, tapestries, the beige, memoirs of her britches. Right? The bitches.
But it says bridges.
It made me smile. No, it's very good. I like the part I just read, wheezing through the groans and growls. Yeah. Brevity. To say it all.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And David?
Yeah, I thought this was really cool. I especially like the prompt that you picked, Kay. I thought it was really cool. I knew you would write, do it justice, and you did. I like the second line, the way I probably went the best, I guess. Whimper through the crack, whip through its hissing histronics, talons outreached in switches, domain through curled extension. I like all of this. It's really interesting, and it fits the all of the colors and the characters and the design in this prompt. I think I noticed that, you know, one side of this whatever you call it loop is alternating against exactly the opposite of the other side. And I agree with what you said about it, Deb. It has a urgency or to it. It's letting you know that this is a kind of a scary place to be. And I think you did that really well. I thought it was really well, laid out and it shows a lot of thought. And you did that in, you know, few words, which is, to me, really hard to do. So I'm going to have to tell you, well done.
Thank you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, will you comment, then tell us what's going on, and then read for us, please.
Sure. I have to quote a couple of lines myself. I like the lines, the Talon's outreach and switches to Maine through curled extension. This definitely speaks to me of, well, you know, when you talk about a switch, I always think about the old days when they tell you to go out there and cut off a switch and bring it back so they could beat you with it. I'm seeing that. And then when you say the curled extension, and I'm looking at this picture, and I remember in the Guinness Book of World Records, and there was a person that had the longest fingernails.
Yeah.
And how they were all curled up and everything. When they got to a certain length, the nail would naturally curl and kind of swirl, just like it does here in the picture. So I kind of see that in your words as well as in the picture. So, yeah, I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, you would be right. A lot of people would be right. Because if you look at that little tag, there's that word abuse there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my mama with that one, so yeah. The anniversary of her passing is coming up next week, actually. So it's always a hard place to visit.
Very sorry.
Thank you.
All right. What's going on? What's going on?
Wednesday.
Wednesday is the next show over at Poetic Slice of Life. It is the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow. And we are looking at Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream. We have quotes from that play to write to. Take it, see where it takes your pen. Once again, it's 10 p.m. There's no movement of sound this week, so we were off on Thursday. But Friday, with something different with a request, 8 p.m. Eastern, is going to be our Father's Day special. Mm-hmm. So bring something about Dad.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Thank you for sharing. Now take us away.
All right. I thought that the picture was very interesting. And I thought it was very interesting the direction my pen went to, because that wasn't exactly the direction I was planning on going. So it was one of those where the pen took me where it wanted to. And I call this double-faced and out of place. Frizzy orange hair draped over ashen-stained, sunken-eyed skull, missing teeth forming checkerboard pattern between upper and lower jaw. Hiss from curled tongue wheezing between gapped incisors. Gulp travels down esophagus, splashing into ulcered stomach. Rippled pavement causing suspension to crunch and groan. Through frosted glass lay mirrors of smoke. Gurgling bright blue cornea whirlpooling down pupil. Double chin troll snorts and sleeps between surface roots. End poem.
Wow. Double troll snorts and sleeps between surface roots. What an ending. Double chin troll snorts. I mean, there's like the visuals and the sound all wrapped in one there. That's pretty cool. But fizzy orange hair draped over ashen-stained, sunken eye skull. I like the fizzy orange. It for some reason, it put orange soda in my head. Hiss from curled tongue wheezing between gapped incisors. Oh, what was that other thing? Through frosted glass lay mirrors of smoke. So if there's not enough darkness behind that frosted glass, you got mirrors with smoke as well. So it's like pretty vicious. But that double chin troll snort just really cracks me up. I love the imagery that you put in here and how you blended it, like I say, with the fizzy orange soda, because that noise that it makes when the bubbles pop, it's like sort of white noise, I guess, you know? But with the fizz and the wheezing and that gulp, I think you did a fantastic job adding the sound in with the scene that you painted there. And there's a certain amount of, like, the crunching groan, like it just seems so painful. So I think that you did this quite cleverly, and you got a 10, too. I think you guys have been showing up week after week after week with a pair of 10s, so, like, way cool. Brilliant work, and thank you so much. Another awesome brevity. Let me see what Hatter thinks.
Yeah, I love the ending, too. Googly and bright blue, cornea roar pulling down people, and the line, double chin trolled snorts and sleeps. Double chin trolled. Yeah.
Thank you, Hatter.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
And
sorry.
Dave Prophet?
I thought this was really cool. I really get off on Stephen's work. Both he and Kay are two of my favorite writers on all poetry. The second stanza especially well. Hiss from curled tongue, wheezing between gapped incisors. Gulps travel down esophagus, splashing into ulcerated stomach. Boy, that's enough to make you feel just about right. I thought this was pretty cool. I saw this prompt earlier on, and I thought, wow, what would I do with that, you know? And Stephen just got a hold of it and did with it, you know? And so I admire you for that, Stephen. I thought this was a really interesting poem. I liked the storyline in it really well, and the way you used all of the adjectives and metaphors and outstanding. So I have to say, well done, my friend.
Thank you very much, Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And I'm going to do it a little backwards this time, and I'm going to go to Kay first. Would you comment for Stephen?
Well, yeah, you know, when I had first read this, I even said to you that she doesn't sound pretty. What I see is identity that brings its own existence of what happens when the beauty is taken away and the ugly just kind of takes over.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. That's a cool rate.
Fabulous comment. And then, Sky, I was hoping that you would comment for Stephen and then read that poem I mentioned.
Yeah, so this is, you know, the thing about these pictures that's really cool, or any pictures rather, is that when I look at this, when anybody looks at things, they see different things and they go different places. And it's always interesting to see where people, and you can see in his description where he pulled from the photo and how he processed those images and the creative, you know, highways and turns that Stephen took in particular for this photo. And no mind is going to go the same way. And that's what I like about photo writing. Because you can see these foaming checkerboard patterns, you know, and you, if you blow up that picture, you can see the pattern. And then the sunken eyelids. And then, of course, like the curling tongue, the hiss from the curling tongue. And yet there's no tongue, but then you look at the picture and you're kind of like looking for where did you see that image? Oh, well, maybe it's the backdrop of that hat she's wearing, you know. So you start to see all these, because the picture is a little bit, I mean, it's a picture, but it's a little bit abstract with its curves and things like that. So you get to see all the little bits where he went. And then you think of this frosted glass lay of mirrors of smoke. And to me, that might have been how these two faces are facing each other like a mirror pose, and reflecting upon each other. And then it brings kind of a whole new meaning when you reread the poem because you're looking at it from like an opposite reflection, opposite perspective of these two heads. So I think it's really cool, Stephen, and I really did enjoy kind of going through and seeing where or why your mind might have lead to certain descriptions of the photo. I found it quite fun, actually. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Awesome comment. And if you would, I have added Angel to the board. And thank you, Stephen and Kay. Appreciate it very much. Love and respect.
This is called Kiss of the Divine by Heavenly Angel. Imagine summer, fingers stained with rose pollen, a splash of turquoise and eggplant in the morning sky, hearing the chirp of bluebirds as they sing happily, or the drip of a raindrop from a summer shower. Celestial sorcery witnessed by the wind, a drizzle of stars, a spray of moonlight, a kiss from a lover encased in a whimper of passion, bewitching the heart, mind, body, soul. Slated words, slender moments, caught in precious memories, forever ingrained upon soul's parchment, highlighted by kiss of spine. There are small parcels of hope, particles of hope, that blossom into promise of more. More time that elicits gasps of wonder.
Beautiful read, thank you. Wow. Imagine summers. Fingers stained with rose pollen, a splash of turquoise and eggplant in the morning sky. Just the first two lines paint a beautiful image. And then she just keeps it coming. The celestial sorcery witnessed by the wind. I love that line. Down further, a kiss from a lover encased in a whimper of passion. Forever ingrained upon soul's parchment, highlighted by a kiss of the divine. I mean, so many beautiful lines, some fabulous metaphors. There are small particles of that blossom in the promise of more. Those two lines right there, I think Angel's taking a break for the moment from contests, but I really think that the next time she gets a whim, that there are small particles of hope that blossom into promise of more would be a fabulous, fabulous prompt. It's a beautiful sentiment. Fantastic. Sky, you read. Will you comment, please?
Yes, thank you. I just want to fix something that I read. I say when I read something wrong, it's slatted words, not slated words. And I just wanted to repeat that. Slatted words, slender moments, caught in precious moments. I really love that, forever ingrained upon soul's parchment. And I really love this because, first of all, there was wonderful passion, wonderful beauty. These small, as she says, particles of hope strewn throughout. And I like how she mingles love and nature on the drizzle of the stars and the spray of the moonlight. I don't know if I've ever, it reminds me of like ocean spray scattering, but with moonlight. And I thought that was very clever, and I don't think I've ever heard that before. So I thought that was really pretty cool. And then there was a part, and I'm trying to find it now, be able to in figures, but there was a word, there was a sentence, and I'm not going to be able to see it now, but there was a wording that I thought was, I really enjoyed, that she took out smaller words. I'll find it probably. But I thought this was beautiful. I like how she's saying, imagine summer, fingers stained with pollen rose. And of course it isn't, she doesn't bring into the a kiss from the lover, she doesn't bring into the second sentence, but it still has that beautiful sway of romance right from the beginning, of fresh summer, something new, something blooming. And of course the splash of turquoise was excellent, and I wish I could find that sentence that I was looking for. Really well done. It's always an honor to read for you. Thank you so much, Sandy. This is absolutely beautiful.
Great comment, and thanks again for reading. Is Kay still here?
Yeah. I definitely like the line. Okay.
I like the line, celestial sorcery witnessed by the wind, a drizzle of stars, a spray of moonlight. There are small particles of hope that blossom into promise of more. Those are amazing lines. It builds on the character of personality, but as I said, season in the feelings to create the right to leave its own legacy of hope. It's a wonderful response to all the prompts written to.
Awesome comment, as always. Stephen, please.
Yes, first I'll apologize for that motorcycle if you can hear it. And if not, please send my apologies anyway. I like this a lot. I don't know if I got it right or not. And I know everybody says, you know, it's how your mind perceives poetry. But I thought that this was a really cool write to that picture. It's got beautiful imagery, and it's mixed with concrete descriptions of, I think, of how the picture was fashioned. I especially like that stanza where she does say that there are small particles of hope that blossom in promise of more. Because if you look at the picture, this is what I was seeing anyway. It looks like it's actually made up of small particles of color, but when they're put together, they blossom into something more, something beautiful. And then it caused Sandy to write these beautiful words. It's an excellent write.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much, both of you, and David.
Well, you know, when you look at this prompt, it almost looks like this gal is some sort of a goddess or an entity because of this headdress that she has on. And so I would have to say that that would correlate to something to do with the weather and the scenery and nature and stuff. I agree with what everyone else has said about this first stanza. It's absolutely gorgeous. I also like the two lines on the second stanza, celestial sorcery, witnessed by the wind, a drizzle of stars, a spray of moonlight. That's really descriptive of the evening and stuff too, you know. Angel is, she is the magician of romance and how to say it, how to speak it. And if I ever get a lady friend, I hope she speaks to me the way Angel writes, because that would be just fine with me. Anyway, I think this is a beautiful poem. It really was. I liked every bit of it. So, well done, Angel.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. And Hatter, can you comment for Angel and then read your poem for us? Hatter? Did I miss him saying he had to go somewhere? Hatter, are you muted? Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's change that one, and we will go to David, and we will try Hatter when he gets back. But awesome share, Angel. Thank you very much, and amazing read, Sky. Mr. David Prophet, your poem is on board. Show us what you got.
I'm sorry. I was muted.
That's okay.
I have to admit that this one really took me to task. I really worked on this one. I hope everybody likes it, because I'm not sure about it myself. It's called The Asymmetry of Alicia. Dark Mother's private musician, Alicia, muse floating into the universe, logarithmic, asymmetrical mantissa, Planck time signatures so terse, her pentatonic scales a bit perverse, her music wicked and beautiful. I gasp in the white night's reverse, not quite in the treble clef, a squeak outside the bass signature, smiling neutron stars all tone deaf, trying to doodle as her half-assed calligrapher, tracks of her inverted five-string whose machine head terminates at infinity, plays upside down, her hiss brings my affinity, she does purr to me, a long for a kiss from you three, you, the Dark Mother, and Deborah Lee. Her gallon's black note, Ergosphere's engine, warping the space-time curvature to her whimper, whip in Shinjin will knock on her door to servitude. Gravitational waves howl history, splash her epitaph across light years for all to see. Silly like her imagined cuckoo fears, her melodies so strange and austere, haunting, hypnotic, haunting, and so queer. The Lord still holds her spirit dear, once lost only to reappear from the train of forevermore. She closes her eyes in reverie, lets her heartbreak memory soar, strings that shall ever be inside the heart of the dark mother, Deborah Lee and me. Gather all around to those that were, that ever were, and ever shall be. Look long into the interstellar and tell us what you see. All ye that claim to be self-appointed fortune tellers, and it is said that God abhors a naked singularity. She is covered in dark matter scores, curved from its own modesty. The dark mother showed her to me in tears steeped inside cosmology. David, my Alicia is so sweet to me. Her asymmetry is her beauty. I held her while she wept. I saw tears within Deborah Lee's eyes, the dark mother's tears. She sympathized. Asymmetrical Alicia, forever eternalized. End quote.
Man, there's such sad imagery to think of her sitting there crying. And I would, if I'm with someone and they are crying, their tears pull me in and I cry too. And sometimes you don't want to because you want to make the person feel better, but I couldn't stop the tears if my life depended on, I couldn't hold them in. They just come out. And the details here from the train of forevermore, she closes her eyes in reverie. I don't know how we went from her being the musician to weeping to the sadness to, David's my affinity. It's just like, whoa, when you started reading, you had said something to the effect of that you didn't know where you were going to take it, and then it went. I think what often happens is as soon as you find a way to tie your art to the Dark Mother, then the ideas flow whether you want them to or not, which I've said this before, but it's a tribute to just how strong of a connection you've built as you've built this character over the years, to the point where sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we're just talking about a character and not,
That's
a
right.
person. Because,
you're right.
You delve deep into the details. So this is no exception. And the amount of emotion that comes out of this one's big time. So great share. Awesome use of your prompt. Like I said, you just think of her and then it flows. let me click first. Hatter, are you back? Hatter? Okay, that is odd. But before I get another comment, let me welcome AP to the show. Welcome
Hi.
To the show, AP.
Hi, dear.
Glad
How
you're
you?
Here. I am just about to get some comments for Dave. I don't know if you were here for his read.
I wasn't. I'm just looking at the poem now, though. It's a brilliant image, Dave. I love the image, and I love the whole idea of that image being the private musician and of a muse floating into the universe. I think that's and the scale's a bit perverse. They're very cute. Great response to that picture, Dave.
Thank you.
Awesome. And Sky, can you comment for Dave, please?
It was an excellent piece. I like how, you could definitely put all these touchy devoted to this character. I think it would work out quite nicely. I like how you kind of you've been dragging in Deb a couple times into this. I like how you speak of empathizing through the tears and having this type of connection with the two.
I really enjoyed this stanza, and it's because there's some words that I really love, and I love when people use them, and they're not used that often. So when you say her melody is so strange and austere, I love that word. Hypnotic, haunting, and so queer, the Lord still holds her spirit dear, once lost only to reappear. I really love that. It was like a chant. It's a little haunting, a little strange in itself. So it was almost like the stanzas and the catch rhymes were mimicking the words to further their meaning, which I thought was really done quite well. So that was my favorite stanza. The rest I really enjoyed as well. And I do think the storytelling and how you intermingle the two, and especially to echo what I said about the empathizing for the tears, that when you bring Deborah Lee in there, I thought that was a nice touch. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Awesome comment. And let me check one more time. Hatter, are you back?
Yeah.
Were you here to hear David Reed, or did you just get back?
I just got back.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I had your poem on the board. Do you think you can read?
Can you do that? Can you read? Can you read for me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Right, and everybody got to comment for David. So, okay. Thank you, David. If you guys will click
You're
on
welcome.
Hatters, I will read his. And this is called Then Back Again by Jay Hatter. Here we go. Quarantine behind the lines, where tea was more than hard to find. Rationed back to recycled bags, a maiden with a hatter's tag. Mushroom cookies with honey sips, crumpet, pastries, sugar lip. Masking days till who knows when, to fly down under, to back again. Oh, I like how you threw that in there at the end, Hatter.
Yeah, you got
this
it.
Is cute. Yeah, this is cute. You gonna take some tea with you? No. No, I like that you took the teapot and that you tied it into the quarantine and the mask and flying down under and back again. You put a lot into four little couplets and mushroom cookies with honey sips, crumpet pastry, sugar lips. It's cool. And I still like the closing line. But it's always an honor to be your reader, Mr. Hatta.
Thank you.
Cool brevity. Let me get you some comments. To AP.
This is a fun teapot and set. It's really cool. And I can sort of see a bit of desert, a bit of curling, a bit of Australia in that. And you want to bring that with you, Hatter? I'd be very happy to have it with you when you come down. But no, that's fun. It's sort of classic sort of 2x4 Hatter style in single line rhyme and quirky as all heck.
Yeah, thank you, AP.
Cool comment. And Dave Prophet.
Well, this is more of Hatter's magic. It's not hard to find, or not hard to recognize, I should say. I really like this. The brevity was really well done. It was superbly rhymed, as always. And it describes the prompt really well, I thought. I don't know what mushroom cookies would be like, but maybe if they were kind of psychedelic, that might be kind of fun. You know, I don't know. crumpet pastry, sugar lips. mushroom cookies with honey sips. Wow. That's cool. Yeah, it's really neat. I tell you, Hatter, your stuff comes right out straight out of the 70s and the psychedelic days to me, you know, I think. But I like your stuff a lot, and I thought this was really well done.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Great comment. And Sky, can you comment for Hatter?
Yes. I think, you know, definitely masking Jason, who knows when, I think it is very true. I like the little play, especially with the quarantines. I like what you did with the photo. Those teapots are pretty cool. I like how you kind of made it like, you know, down the rabbit hole. And the madman with the Hatter's tag, I thought that was quite clever because, you know, there's two ways you can really take that. The tag, of course, perhaps on certain items like they do in Alice, you know, drink me or whatnot, but also the tag, like a your tag, or, like if you're tagging something on site, putting tags down at the bottom and labeling your name. So the duality of that I thought was quite clever. To have like to have like a Hatter tag. I just thought that was clever. I thought it was a cool brevity, and I do have to agree with Deb. I know she briefly mentioned it, but I like how you tied in that last line with the title coming full circle in thought. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Thank you. I want some mushroom cookies also.
Well, now, you have to talk after the show, see how you can manage that one. You'll be a little closer if you move to Ohio, just saying. Anyhow, Allie's poem's on the board. If you want to go ahead and read that, please.
Yes, thank you. This is called The Rescue of a Lifetime by Allie Sunshine. As the scared children hid in their room, they heard the fire engine sirens flare. Fire engine's horn honked loudly, scaring down the oldest child, knew that the fire engine siren meant safety. Safety for the first time in months, even years. When the fire engine pulled up to their house, the kids were nervous, scared, fearful, uncertain. Officers arrived at the house. There was a big dog in the house, a big black dog. Could howl, and so it did. The dog howled as the officers knocked on the door. The officers seemed scary at first. The children were terrified. When the officers opened the door, they saw that the children had many scrapes on their bodies. The scrapes covered in scabs. The officer seemed shocked. The more shocked the officer seemed, the more drizzles of tears seemed streaming down their faces. Why were they so shocked? Children wondered. I mean, it's not like the scrapes were super big, after all. The oldest child was doing her best to take care of the children, right? The kids had never known how to take a bath in a bathtub. But now the kids can splash in the bathtub, and they have so much fun now. Also, they no longer whimper the sounds of the dogs bark or howl. Rather, they go away from where the dog is, especially if the dog is left over the same situation they were in. Isn't it quite amazing how far children have come, the children have come? They went from being scared and terrified being happy, joyful. The children are made more joyful when the sights of butterflies outdoors. The butterflies remind them of Sophia and also their mother at home.
Awesome read, Sky. Thank you very much. The Rescue of a Lifetime. What a title. Man, there's,
no,
I don't even know which part. Yeah, I don't even know which part to go to, but the one part that's sticking with me is where the, okay, I'm finding it here. Why were they so shocked, the children wondered? I mean, it's not like the scrapes were super big. After all, the oldest child was doing her best to take care of the children, right? And just the thought that that poor child should be forced into the responsibility of trying to take care of those children. It kills me. Your childhood is supposed to be that time of fairy tales and you know, sunshine and rainbows and not shock and fear and responsibility beyond your means. And you know, this is just another poem that reminds you of the list of things that Allie has been through, that she's had to overcome to make it to graduations and just day to day sometimes, just to lay her head on the pillow and be able to fall asleep without imagery that, you know, would force you to want to stay awake because you don't want to dream, or should I say nightmare, to relive some things. But I like that she has the release of her pen and that she is getting better and better at emphasizing the things that are torturing her and getting them out on paper. So another excellent share. Keep them coming, Allie. Sky, you read. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a powerful piece. And, you know, it speaks loudly that there are situations like these. I don't know why, but it brought to mind, I don't know if you guys ever, you know, Sylvia Likin. I think they did an American Crime film on it. And unfortunately, her situation ended completely. And you think about stories like this, and you realize that they're not just stories. They're people's actual truth. And even though it's hard to swallow sometimes, or hard to read, or hard to accept, or hard to bear through with other people, I think it is extremely important, bringing about the advocacy of abuse, mental, physical, all these things, and to definitely not only empathize, help, or speak for those who can't, especially when it comes to children. It is very important. Down by the end, I mean, it's a whole piece when you think of how paced it is, and you think the pauses and with the line breaks and these little things, this you know, the dog, the sirens, these little tiny things that many people kind of take for granted, these just normal sounds, but to somebody else, they could be either triggers, they could be memories, they can be very important, you know, all these things. And then you get down to the end where it speaks of finding that, you know, a better place, that finding, oh, that this was learned and these things had to be refiltered to not become frightful. You know, the sound of dogs, no longer being afraid, trying to break those cycles. And then at the end as well, the butterflies of Sophia and also their mother, I think it speaks loudly of the struggles that it kind of goes through when, you know, those darker moments, those darker memories, was inflicted upon those, from those that were supposed to care for you, and yet innately you still care for them. You still miss them, even if the memories of them are very stark. And there's that struggle in and of itself, you know, do you forgive the abuser? Do you find peace? Because you're still ultimately a child, no matter how old you are, wanting to be loved. And I think that struggle is a hard one. So I thought this was expressed very well in this poem. And comment.
Fabulous comment. And thank you again for reading. I appreciate it. And Hatter, what did you think?
You know, I think to use the burning house as a place that was not safe, and to be discovered, and wonder why they look so concerned. You know, I can't wait till Allie is in her safe place and is able to look past this. Just a word of not criticism, but you've got to be careful about being stuck in a rut, writing the same thing. I did that for years, same dark place. So maybe someday she'll be in a safe place and look forward. She's a good writer.
Awesome comment. And did you hang
yes.
up, Sky? She did. Okay. Did you see my inbox, David?
Yeah, I do. I don't. Yes, I would.
Okay, please.
You know, I always wanted a daughter, and I never got one. And, you know, to see what Allie has went through and to be, you know, have parents that don't want her, really, I mean, I can't fathom that, you know. Or maybe they want her, but she's in their way of doing what they would rather do than rather be a parent. You know, and I think we've all along down this path with Allie and her descriptions of what's happened to her. And, you know, she's really a brave little gal, and she's got a loving, wonderful heart. And I think that I have to agree with what Sky said about her healing process, and probably yours too, Deb, about, you know, it's good that she's actually, you know, got back on the horse that threw her off, and she's getting this out of her system, because it does help to give you closure on this stuff, and it does help to make you realize that sometimes we think that these sorts of things are our fault somehow, and you know, and we need to, you know, get rid of those notions for sure. Allie's a real cute little gal, and it breaks my heart when I hear the stuff that she's been through. And I'm just so pleased that she's in our group and she's getting through all of this. And, you know, I'd like to bless everybody that's helped her with this and, you know, and say, you know, well done. So anyway, that's basically what I wanted to say.
Awesome comment, David. And okay, so we have four left. We have APs. I have two recordings and then J's. So, AP, if you would take us away, please, after you comment for Allie.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was just going to encourage Allie to keep writing. I've noticed that the number of poems she's writing have reduced significantly in the last month, and it may well be because she's putting all of her energies and her attention into one particular poem and trying to get it worked and right. But I just encourage her to keep writing and to keep expressing where she's up to, and that, you know, each time you do that, it doesn't have to be a big, big, huge issue. It can be just a small thing, a sunflower, a reflection or something small. But keep writing, keep doing what you're doing, and you'll find that place.
Great comment. So show us what you got.
Well, I haven't written a 14er for a little while. This is Autumn Winds, a 14er. And it goes a little bit like this. A single leaf peeled loose onto autumn winds left to glide. Wings barely a murmur, whip gathered in a breeze astride. Cracks dotted a morn's pirouette as light rushes to scrape. Ignites palette of gold browns. As fall beside pale crepe. Drizzle of red eyes are among the splash of soft yellow. Veins resonate trembling with airs as grasp upon cello. Fur filigree seeking out one delicate final spray. remnants of floral tributes settled into a bouquet. So while the drying trees ring in the winter absent clothes, a lone butterfly flitters by degrees through orchard rows, warm doodle of colour amongst the growing winter rain, memory of spring dances, the soon chilled, pause to rain. End poem.
Gorgeous. You know, I was trying to pick out something besides the closing stanza to quote, and I mean, I can, of course, because there's amazing imagery throughout with the wings that barely murmur and the light rushes and the scrape and stuff. But that last stanza, it's just so gorgeous. So while the drying trees ring in the winter absent clothes, a lone butterfly flitters by degree through orchard rows, warm doodle of color amongst the growing winter rain, memory of spring dances as soon chills pause to rain. There's something about the warm doodle of color that's really clever, but the whole poem, it's got a delicateness. It's got gorgeous images. I like the rhyme pattern, the flow, and I think I mentioned earlier that it's not easy at all to do the 14ers. So it's like, especially if you normally do a shorter line in each stanza, and I agree that it's sort of almost two lines a line to make these. So you did a fabulous job with it, and I like the words that you chose because they can be a sound and a description. So impressive play on words. And then once you put your voice to it, it's off the charts, but it's fantastic. And I can almost smell the flowers in the middle. So really cool. Let me get you some comments. David, what do you think of this, Jeff?
First of all, let me ask you a question. AP, you guys are in autumn down under, aren't you?
Sorry, yes, we are. Yes, that's exactly right. Yes.
Okay. I can just picture this this poor butterfly. He's like maybe he's the kind of didn't get in out of the rain, so to speak. I don't know. The description of him is beautiful. I think it's really, really nice. Cracks daughter to mourn, pirouette as light rushes to scrape, ignites palette of golden browns and falls beside pearl crepe. Drizzle of red eyes are among the splash of soft yellow. I like this. I like the way you put the red eyes in there. Kind of nails it down who he is. Veins resonate, trembling with airs as grasp upon a cello. When we sit there and we watch a butterfly, their wings kind of fan up and down, and sometimes they flutter a little bit. And I thought you did a really good job of describing this little guy. And then the last stanza is really pretty. So while the dying trees ring in the winter absent clothes, a lone butterfly flitters by degrees through orchard rows, warm doodle of color amongst the growing winter rain, memory of spring dances as soon chills pause to rain. That's really a nice ending for this outstanding write. It's really a beautiful thing. Did good.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great comment. Hatter, you want to comment for AP?
Yeah, I agree with Dave on the same lines. That moth is, the spots are supposed to resemble eyes of a bigger creature, right?
Mm, yeah.
You can see.
Yeah.
You can see why. Yeah. Yeah, nicely done. I remember, AP, I remember you, it was in the rain, you were trying to get a cab, or you were in a cab, or you were talking to a moth.
Yeah, well, sounds like me.
I remember that. Very good.
Thanks, Shadow.
Awesome. So what I have left now is two recordings, one Phil, one Gerald, and JCA is going to call and read. So what I'm going to do is he's going to call in 2 minutes. So I am going to take that time to tell everyone that Sky is on tomorrow night. She goes live at 8 Eastern time. Excuse me. And this doing pink see-through fantasia, which is some sort of really freaky looking sea creature with some pretty colors in it, yet transparent. So I'm anxious to see that video. Prompt two is a sea of bamboo, and it's a stunning shot. I don't think I've ever seen bamboo so thick. Believe it or not, there's a person that's, I was going to say down the road, but down the road's quite a ways around here, but they live at the end of a road where you have to go left or right at the end of the road. And I guess after all the years of being there, to protect their property, they made this big, beautiful thing of the bamboo to, you know, if you run into that, it's going to help stop you from running into them. So it's really a versatile thing. So I'm anxious to see what that is about. And then her third prompt is the nightmare planet, the range of terror. And it's beautiful colors, but we got to look into it to find out what makes it a nightmare planet. So I am very excited about that. And again, that is tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. So tune in to hang out with Sky. And then I will let everyone know if the Tuesday is a rain date for Sweet Pea or if that'll be next week as soon as I verify. So that's the next two. We'll leave it there for a moment. And I'm going to grab the phone in case JCA is on break. Welcome to the show, Jay. Glad to hear.
Can you hear me, Lisa?
I can. And right behind him is Linda. Welcome to the show, Linda. Glad you're
Hi,
here.
Hi, Deb.
You're just in time for a poem, so I am going to check to see if Jay is still front and center on the board. Okay, it's moving a bit, so let me just put this back up there. And Jay, take this away.
All righty. Very interesting picture. I called it Mockingbird Sing Hallelujah. And one like this, breath thieves the baritone clock, click, tick. From our sunflower timepiece hands, you, like the satin cappuccino orchid, I doodle over my gooseberry lips in the crystal seraphic name. It sings the wintergreen days of the wisps and the wheeze. Be not the flash and clap of the golden lightning flash smack, but be the rumble and rattle of the landslide aftershocks that groan in the emerald vine brain. Drizzle to the bluebonnet rain as I sniff the honey drip jasmine on the treasure cove neck nape, sailing on the green treetops of the sunset mangoes and the creamy avocados. Cracked bones pop, darkness brightens, sunset tangos saunter, scrape, slap. Queen, no whimper snatches the midnight dahlia from the thirsty blind soldier. His hands splash the kawaii roots, watering the waters of 100 Mayan cenotes. So, if the night houses the gates to Valhalla, eyes never reach the flames of dawn. Death's knock is vocal in the wind's hiss. Listen to the thousand mockingbirds singing hallelujah in chords on altars, walking us on golden bricks somewhere called home. Poem.
Whoa. Okay, for starters, I really, really love that title, Mockingbirds Sing Hallelujah. For two, I think that you put some amazing imagery in here and put tons of perfectly awesome colors through it. And if you look at the art, there's only like, you know, 3 to 5 colors. But you, with your words, want more boldness to it. Drizzles to the bluebonnet rain. What a gorgeous image right there. And I sniff the honey-dripped jasmine on the Treasure Cove neck nape. Where's the other one? Back. Where's the winter? It sings the wintergreen days of the wisp and the wheeze. There's something, you're sitting there in the sun and the warm wind hitting you, and there is like the smell of wildflowers, but there's something in the mixture that gives you the feel of you need to, what's that name? You know the Wolf Peppermint Patty commercial where they bite it and then they're like taken to the coldness? Well, the wintergreen day is a warm feeling, so it takes me to the spring and summer. So I really thought that the images that you put through here are fascinating. And so with the night houses, the gates of Valhalla, eyes never reach the flames of dawn. Death knocks its vocal in the wind's hiss. Man, oh man, singing hallelujah in chords on altars. You know, I never know where someone might take their art when they choose it, but this is like beyond what I could have thought of. And there's a mix of emotions that comes through. And then in this, just like the cracked bones and the darkness brightens. Darkness brightens. It's the contradiction there that makes it even extra cool. So this is quite brilliant. And I'm just noticing on the side, is this really your 200th 10? That's fabulous. Congratulations.
Yeah, this is likely, this ought to rank 12, I believe, but yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm going to put myself on mute while you get more comments. I'll listen, but I can't really talk.
Yeah. Okay, I understand. Get them going right now. And thank you, Jay. Dave, what did you think?
Well, my favorite stanza was the last one. So if the night houses the gates to Valhalla, eyes never reach the flames of dawn, death's knock is vocal in the wind's hiss. Listen to the thousand mockingbirds singing hallelujah in chords on altars. I never heard of hallelujah being sung in chords, but that's an interesting idea. And I think it would really be beautiful to hear walking us on golden bricks somewhere called home. That last line there sort of grounds the whole thing back out to we're used to, I guess, you know, why someplace called home. I really like JCA's poetry. I always have. And drizzle to bluebonnet rain as I sniff the honey-dripped jasmine on the Treasure Cove neck nape, sailing on green treetops of the sunset mangoes and the creamy avocados. Those two ideas go together really well in that stanza, I think. This was really well done, and I have missed listening to your poem, JCA, so well done.
You can't respond, but fantastic comment. Thank you so much. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I think the line, I like the whole poem, but I think the line, it sings the wintergreen days of the wisp and the wheeze,
but not the flash and clap of the golden lightning flash smack. Now, when you first read that, you go, "That's just, there's something wrong." But I've read it a dozen times, and it's not. It's perfect. The golden lightning flash smack. Line of the poem.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And I have, Linda's call dropped, but it looks like she's back. Hey, doll, did you get
hey.
To hear Jay's poem? I'm not sure when you dropped.
Yeah, I got to hear it.
Can you comment, please?
Sure. I thought it was an interesting piece. It was kind of like a nice balance between abstract and concrete thought. And it had very bright imagery, which stood out a lot. The imagery was very nice. And the lovely metaphors in there made it a bright piece. But I really liked it. It was beautiful. Thanks for sharing it, JC.
Awesome comment. And I don't know if you were here to say, but he's probably at work. So he is on mute listening to the comments. So thank you for the awesome comment. And thank you for calling, Jay. Keep listening if you want to. Otherwise, I know you might have to get back to work, and I appreciate you calling and writing and reading. And we'll talk soon. And, okay, now I have two recordings left, but I have a question for Linda. Did you ever figure out how to do the picture? I sent it in your inbox, but I don't.
I tried everything, and I don't know why it's not working. My computer
so
is just. I tried like 100 different ways to get that to go onto the poem, and it wouldn't work.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to put your poem on the board right now, and. Then while you're reading, I will add the photo into the comment line so that after you're done, they can scroll down and see what you were reading from or for. So if you would go ahead and click on that and take us away.
Okay, I'm going to have to refresh here. I don't know. This is a brand new computer, and you would think that it would not give me so much problems. There we go.
They're engineered to give you problems, honey.
I know it's my own stupidity, but okay, this is called "And Soon There'd Be Almost Five." A long time ago in China, there lived a girl named Ming. She lived in a very plush castle and had most everything. Besides all the things that she had, like silks and baubles and stuff. She had such beauty about her, but to her it wasn't enough. Although she was very healthy, her womb was barren and cold. She'd weep in her mirror day after day, watching herself growing old. Ming's only want was a child. Nothing could take the place of something to have and to hold, filled with God's love and grace. Now Ming became quite depressed. She cried most all day long. She sat with her silks and her baubles, trying to think what was wrong. Her husband didn't know what to do. He tried his very best, but after some time he tired and had to go take a rest. So one day her husband thought, a gift might cheer Ming up Ming. But what was he to get for her, since she had most everything? Then walking one day past a merchant that had his shop by a pond, Ming's husband told him his problem, so the merchant sold him a swan. He took the swan to the castle and wrapped it up with a bow. Then Ming, he called, who smiled a bit, then unwrapped her gift very slow. Once Ming had opened her present, she heard a honk and a hiss. Then Ming let out a gasp at the swan, who gave Ming a cute little kiss. Ming and the swan became very close. They played together each day. Then a while, that after a while, the swan came to Ming with something important to say. It turned out the swan was enchanted, and also he was very wise. He told Ming that it hurt him whenever he heard her cry. My dear child, what is making you woeful? If you tell me, we'll work it all out. So Ming told the swan all about it, and the swan told Ming, there's no doubt. I can help you to get with child, but you have to do something for me. Get rid of your soaps and your baubles and everything else you don't need. Once you have cleared out the castle, you'll begin to feel more at ease than carrying all of that worthless stuff now you can be set free. The moral? Once Ming got rid of the clutter, her heart became open and alive. This made a way for a baby, and soon there'd almost be five in poem.
Wow,
that's
Linda.
Cool.
Right?
That's really cool.
And soon there'd be almost five. Cool title. But you know, I'm just going to read what I just finished writing. I just love how you dive into the art, bring it to life, but not only bring it to life, you dazzle us with the brilliant details that you ooze with impeccable rhyme and flow and a fantastic story. It's like, you know, your brilliance is oozing off the page. And if you guys refresh and scroll down, you'll see the image that she wrote to and where the concept of the swan came from. But, and you know, with all your details in each beautiful stanza, I love how you end it with the moral. It's like you wrap it up with a bow, and the bow is that, the bow on top is that moral. And I mean, I know I've said this before. Sometimes I do sound like a broken record, but when it's true, it's true. You really should try your hand at a children's book. I mean, you know, you're just so excellent at bringing these whimsical details. Our queen storyteller, and here with our king storyteller. Dave, what do you think of this brilliant, enchanted story? Thanks, Dave.
I just loved it. It's just a treat to listen to Linda's work. I love the way she reads it anyway. And, you know, she could write a 2,500-word poem, and I'd never get bored listening to any of it. I'd be glued right there until she was done with it. And then to put the moral into the tail end of this poem, that's really cool. And you know, a lot of the fairy tales and stuff come out of China, I've noticed over the years. And I thought that was really cool that you used China to do that with. they're getting a lot of bad press these days, anyway. But you know, we have to remember that not everybody in China was responsible for COVID either, you know, and that sort of crap. So I thought this was really well done, really well written. Your rhyme and meter is perfect as usual. I don't have a favorite part of it because I love all of it. So, you know, I still think we should get together and do a feed doozer of a collaboration one of these days too. That's just me.
Thanks, David.
Well done. You're welcome.
What an awesome comment. And Hatter, what do you think of this? Hatter, are you still here? Okay, he might have dozed off. He wasn't feeling very well. But brilliant share, you guys. And we have two left, and they're both a recording. I have the two links on the board. So if you would both please click on, let me make sure that they're still visible for you. They are. Okay. If you would just click on Bill the Poet, I will push his recording.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Blind Man's Buff. stumbling over a gurgling brook with eyes closed, catching a lonely groan on the summer's breeze, dancing blindly to the chirping melody of a magpie, stepping on a rattlesnake's head, trying to hiss, feeling the whoosh of a whip brush my cheek, scraping my knees among the nettles and hawthorns, running my fingers along the bark of an oak tree, stopping suddenly to hear the cuckoo's song, turning my ear in the direction of a whimper, turns into a growl, silence, and then soft purr. Drizzle drips upon my wounds like a cat's tongue, sniffing, snorting, sneezing, trying to heal my sores. My friend disappears at the beep of an approaching train. The brakes squeak as sparks rise from the tracks. Smoke belches out, slapping my face with a wheeze, taking my breath, knocking me right off my feet. Lying, gasping for air underneath a fiery engine, hearing the crunch of footsteps upon the gravel, I gulp the last spray of diesel oil before passing out. A soft thump becomes louder as I begin to wake. But is it still night? Because I can't see the sun. Disorientated, I fall out of bed, knock my head, weeping, howling, trying to remove the blindfold. End poem.
If you peek at the chat wall while I'm commenting, you'll see the art he wrote too. I find his title very interesting, Blind Man's Bluff, stumbling over the gurgling brook with eyes closed, catching a lone groan on the summer breeze. There's something sad about the lonely groan, and dancing blindly to the chirping melody of a magpie, stepping on a rattlesnake's head, trying to hiss. It was like, whoa, I went from the chirping melody to the rattlesnake's head hissing, and it was like, wow, the back and forth. And I think it's the third stanza, turning my ear in the direction of a whimper turns into a growl, silence, and then a soft purr. Drizzles drop upon my wounds like a cat's tongue, sniffing, snorting, sneezing, trying to heal my sores. It's like there was a back and forth between the imagery being a little bit frightening, like that snake's head, and or very pretty, like the magpie, or the soft purr, but then that soft purr turns into sniffling and snorting. So it's the contrast of the imagery that he put in this is really, really cool. My friend disappears at the beep of an approaching train. The brakes squeak as sparks rise from tracks. And it was like, I was like, oh, no. So, like, this was packed with gritty images and feelings. And, wow. And I couldn't place what I thought the emotion was on Phil's voice as he read this time. But for some reason, I kind of feel like some of these things in here, like maybe, I don't know if I think that maybe he lost a friend in an accident playing on the train tracks, something, the brakes squeal, that I got the chills from the thought of the brakes squealing. So this was a powerful piece and impressive as always. I really, really enjoy listening to Phil read. Wow. Linda, what did you think?
Well, I always love Phil's stuff. He's got such a like cool way of putting things. But this was a dark piece, and yet it still had rays of light in it. And I like that it was a dream that he was he was talking about. And yeah, I got the same feelings that maybe a friend had been killed in a train accident or something. But a very strong piece from Phil. And I just want to say, Phil, thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And David, what did you think?
Well, I think I got the same impression. There was some sort of realism to his inflections in his narrative while reading this. So I agree with you two about this. I think it might be a replay of a friend's death or something. The last stanza here kind of makes me wonder. It says, a soft thump becomes louder as I begin to wake, but it's still night because I can't see the sun. Disoriented, I fall out of bed, knocking my head, weeping, howling, trying to remove the blindfold. Well, I'm wondering why he's even got this blindfold on if he's been in bed. Linda thought that maybe it was just all a dream, but, you know, if he's got this blindfold on or something to do with his eyes, then maybe it isn't a dream. I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted with this last stanza here, but the stuff that we've been getting from Phil lately has been really dark, and he does this well. His duality between, you know, lightheartedness and darkness is good. I noticed that, you know, when most way through this poem, he teases us. He goes a little bit light with it, and then the next line is heavy, and it's light, and it sort of oscillates back and forth, you know, that's sort of a tit for tat sort of a thing. It was a really good poem, really, really well done. So maybe I should perch awesome. Play here at the end and see what that has, but anyway.
The YouTube, that's his recording of him reading. Yeah, that's true. You commented.
Okay. Sure.
Did I let you comment, right, Linda?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. Okay, so the last poem is on the board by Gerald, and if you guys click on the poem, I will push play.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Christmas Gift, written and read by Gerald Green. The open gift sat before her, tempting with its strings of sound, waiting to respond, eager for a lover's touch. She didn't know how many bonds reached out as curiosity, drawing closer to the instrument, where music hid from view. Each touch increased desire, and each note linked ear to string, where flesh and metal met and danced a pirouette or two. The start was simple, calibrating fingers to the frets. Each note stood up alone, inviting with its voice. Endorphins joined the new parade to energize and flaunt their magic, stopping time as playing sessions extended with experience. Melodies now blossomed into runs with chords to mimic mentors and the masters of this well-known instrument. Winter, spring, and summer passed, and so consumed was she that this new instrument was now a part of her, another limb, another voice. She now was something different, not just human flesh and bones, but greater with complexity that dazzled all she met. Her skills improved with age. Each year expanded how she played. New techniques shaped what she did as she achieved what few could do. For years they grew together, intertwining like a vine, with music emanating from this combination, captivating all who heard. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Awesome. I think it's so cool that he's having such a good time doing the shows and stuff that he now has his own YouTube channel and gets to give a nod at the end of his poems. Because he's got such a clear, concise reading voice, and he writes fabulous. You never know where he's going to take you, and he can write about almost any subject. The Christmas Gift, which was an interesting thought, that his muse was tickled by the thought of Christmas at this time of year. Gosh, I could pick anyone here. Each touch increased desire, and each note linked ear to string, where flesh and metal met and danced a pirouette or two. I love that stanza. Endorphins joined the new parade to energize and flaunt their magic, stopping time as playing sessions extended with experience. Another awesome one. But each one, winter, spring, and summer passed, and so consumed was she that this new instrument was now a part of her, another limb, another voice. He zeroed right in on her and that harp, and it's just a total story here. The start was simple, calibrating fingers to the frets. Each note stood up alone, inviting with its voice. And I could just keep stealing the stanza, so I'll stop in case someone else might want to dare to quote some of them. But again, I say it doesn't matter what kind of topic I hit him and the rest of the amazing poets that hang out here with week after week. It's just, he's knocked them out of the park. And I know I said it at the beginning of my comment, but I'm really thrilled that he's doing the YouTube channel. And I happen to also know that on occasion he gets to still in some of the spots on the local radio station by him and read his poetry. So that's fabulous that he's out there putting himself out there in so many different avenues. Fabulous share. Thank you so much, Gerald. David, you want to go first this time?
Yeah. This is an exact, I don't know what you want to call it, a blow description of what it feels like to learn an instrument. You know, when I started playing guitar, right at first it was real intimidating. I couldn't get anything intelligent out of it. And if you keep up with it, slowly you start to make something that sounds halfway intelligent. And that refuels your desire to play it more. And so it's a regenerative process. And he describes that here really well. The start was simple, calibrating fingers to frets. Each note stood up alone, inviting with its voice. And that's exactly what happened. And then it says endorphins joined a new parade to energize and flaunt their magic. That's another thing that happens. You get excited about it. And it makes you feel good when you can start to sound like a musician. And it just, sometimes it can really take over a lot of your time. And that's exactly what it takes. Playing any kind of an instrument is a sacrifice. It takes part of your life. And some people are willing to do that and some people aren't. But the ones that do give away part of their life to an instrument, it's time well, part of your life is better for it. And so I just think he outlined this really well. That's a really interesting picture, and Gerald really, really got behind it, and I thought it was just outstanding, just really good.
Fabulous comment, David. Thank you. And Linda, the last poetic comment of the night belongs to you.
Well, I'm with David because I know that feeling of picking up an instrument and playing, just barely getting out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And then one day, all of a sudden, you're playing Beethoven's Fifth. It's like you're alive and you've accomplished something wonderful. And there's nothing more cool than playing music. I mean, it's like it brings you vitality and strength, and all that's good is in music. And I liked how he worked this woman's life into turning into the actually melding with the instrument and becoming one with it, because that's what you have to do to become a great musician, is basically meld with your instrument. And so Gerald wrote about that in this poem very well. He gave the instrument life and circulation and you know, whatever's it says. So now she was something different, not just human flesh and bones, but greater with complexity that dazzled all she met. She became her instrument, and that's cool. So thank you, Gerald, for sharing your piece. It was really cool.
Awesome comment. And so on that note, I will tell you guys that I just put up two links on the board. One is will take you to my topic board for next week. A new artist for this group, her name is Dimitra Milan, and she paints with extremely bold, vivid color and emotion. And I am so excited to see who matches what photos with what quotes, because I have quotes from Longfellow. I have quotes from Laura Ingalls Wilder. I have Robin Williams. So there's about a dozen different quotes. One quote is even from Alex Trebek, may he rest in peace. So read over the quotes and see which one screams at you the loudest, and then choose your art and dazzle me with your brilliance like you always do. And a quick reminder that I also put the link on for Sky Show tomorrow night at 8 Eastern time. She always has really awesome prompts and three to choose from for stuff that she finds on YouTube. So that should be a fabulous show. So on that note, I want to thank my amazing board members, Heather and Sweet and AP. I am a lucky girl to have the three of you running these things with me. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven and Angel and Allie and Phil and Gerald and Sky and JCA, David, and Linda. I appreciate you guys very much, and your poetry and your time is very appreciated from the bottom of my heart. And I don't know if Heather can hear me, because I have a feeling that he might have fallen asleep. But don't ever want to do it without you, Heather. Even if you fall asleep, I'm glad you're here. And on that note, I guess I will push the button on that wonderful song that Heather wrote and say good night to everyone. I will see you next week at 10 p.m. on Monday night to see what you do with the amazing art that I have up for grabs. And I guess that will do it. Love and respect, you guys. And here comes Shout Even Shy, singing the words you cannot say, written by Jay Hatter. Night, guys. Love and respect.
Night, Deb.
Good night, Deb.
watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant.
Song, Hatter. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Love and respect. Good night. See you tomorrow at Sky Show, 8 p.m. Eastern.